the Old Testament, the book of Esther. And I want to come over to Esther and chapter number 4. Esther chapter 4, and I'm going to take the time here, if y'all don't mind, to read the entire chapter, because I want to be able to give a little bit of the context and the backdrop of the story, and I'm going to try to preach as pointed as what the Lord will allow me to preach here this evening. The Bible says in Esther chapter 4, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her, watch the wording here, that she should go in unto the king. Anytime you find that word go in the Bible, it'd be good to study the events around it. Amen. Because can I just tell you, that's why this church is here. That this church is here to go. Amen. And anytime you find that word go in the Bible, it's always good to just look at the events around it, get the context, see what's going on. The Bible said to go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again Esther spake unto Hatak, gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not, watch this, but I have not been called. You ought to underline that right there. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. Notice the Bible is always speaking in present tense. At this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And we know the answer to that question. Amen. She had been brought to the kingdom for such a time as that. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll examine these scriptures here this evening as quickly as we can. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would work and move tonight. Lord, it takes the Spirit of God using the Word of God to penetrate hearts. And Lord, what I'm going to preach about tonight, the call of God, there is no doubt in my mind that you're calling. Because in the words of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 6 said, whom shall I send and who will go? And that's not just a historical event that took place in Isaiah 6. God is speaking. I believe you're speaking through your word today. I believe you are constantly calling. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to have ears to hear what the Spirit says unto the church and what the Spirit says to the individual here tonight. Help us, I pray. Lord, I pray that you would burden us, oh God, in these matters like we've never been burdened or like we've not been burdened in a long time. God, help us to realize where we are in history. Help us, Lord God, to understand our place, our position, why we're here at this time, why you've given us the privileges and the blessings you've given us. Lord God, I pray that the Spirit of God would work in our hearts as only you can tonight. And God, I pray again that we would walk out of here not only hearing what the Spirit of God has bid us to do, but Lord, with the attitude that we're going to do what the Spirit of God told us. God, work and move, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at our passage here this evening, I think most of us understand the context of the story. Some won't. Some actually will hear it for the very first time here this evening. But we understand that a decree had been sent out that all of Esther's race was to be killed, the Jewish race. Most of you know that story. And we know that her cousin, Mordecai, sent her a message that the decree had gone out that her race was to be condemned. And I mean, they were going to be condemned. I mean, it was going to be open season on the Jewish race, and they were going to be slaughtered. And actually, God gave me, I almost wanted to preach this tonight, really, to be honest. God gave me a message right there out of this same passage entitled, I'm Willing to Die to Make a Difference. Because she came to a place in her life where she said, if I perish, I perish. She came to a place to start with in our passage. She is not willing to die, but at the end of the passage, she's willing to die to make a difference for her people. And so when called upon by her cousin to go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people, her response was this: but I have not been called to come in unto the king. And I was actually preaching that message on I'm Willing to Die to Make a Difference maybe 2 years ago now. And while I was preaching, I am telling you, as sure as my name is James Ruttman and I'm talking to you, it's not Peter, amen. This brother said, your first name Peter, he's having phoned me over here. As sure as my name is James Ruttman, amen. Can I tell you, God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart right with that phrase, but I've not been called. And I'll tell you, I believe why he spoke to my heart, because I cannot tell you how many places I'm in, how many churches I preach in, how many places God's open door to preach, and I talk to young people all the time. And as I talk to young men, I talk to preacher boys sitting in churches, lots of preacher boys sitting in lots of churches. And I thank God that we have churches that are training and mentoring and investing in the next generation. But as I talk many times, I'll ask the young man a question like this: hey, do you know what God's will is for your life? Do you know the purpose of God for your life? And a lot of times, even with the preacher boys on the front row, I get this blank look. Like, am I supposed to know the will of God? And then I'll ask another question. When it's obvious they don't know the will of God, I'll say, well, are you pursuing the will of God? Are you pursuing the God of the will? I mean, are you praying about the will of God? And again, I get a blank look, like, I'm supposed to pray about God's will? Can I tell you something, church? Those that aim at nothing hit it every time. Nothing. And we've got a generation that we're raising in our churches, amen, that I'm telling you, I'm telling you, when it comes to the will of God, the perfect will of God, the call of God, amen, their attitude is, I've not been called. I talk to people all the time about being a missionary and talking to them about consider being a missionary. Consider the call of God. And I get this all the time. I've not been called. I've not been called. And as I've thought about this and chewed on this and met it, and I want to make it clear tonight, because I don't want anybody to get nervous. I believe in the call of God. Amen. But so I want to make that clear up front. So if at any part of this message I say something and you think, Brother Ruttman, don't believe in the call of God, it's not true. I believe in the specific calling of God. Amen. To preach, I believe in the call of God. To be a missionary, I believe all that, amen. But I'm telling you, I think we have a fundamental misunderstanding in our churches as to what the call of God is. And I don't think the average independent Baptist sitting in our churches are thinking the call of God is what the call of God is. I think most people are waiting on a kick in the backside, amen, to go somewhere and witness to somebody and give the gospel. I don't think they're waiting on the call of God. I don't think we understand the call of God like God meant it. And I want to talk about that tonight. Amen. I want to try to preach on that. Now, what I want you to notice with Esther, because we know that this particular verse in the context, that's not speaking about the call of God to be a preacher. We know that. But I want to use the story and I want to use the statement, and I'll come back to the story as a type here several times tonight. But we do understand that here's Esther and she is in a position of comfort. Is that right? I mean, she has went from being a poor Jewish girl to the queen of the whole civilized world almost overnight, definitely over a year. Amen. And here she is, and she's the queen. She's in a position of comfort. I mean, you talk about a woman. I mean, she could have anything she wanted, anywhere she wanted, anytime she wanted, because she is the queen, mother of the whole nation. Amen. And really, of the whole world. She had it. I mean, she had privileges. She had blessings beyond compare. But she got word that while she's in this position of comfort, she got word that her people were condemned. Her race was condemned. You know, up till then, I can imagine her sitting there, enjoying those comforts, enjoying those pleasures, enjoying those privileges, and maybe wondering from time to time, why me? Why'd I end up here? I mean, how'd I get so blessed? How'd I go from being a poor Jewish girl? Now I'm the queen of the whole. How'd this happen? Why'd this happen? And I'm telling you, it's not till her people were condemned and her cousin Mordecai is challenging her position of comfort. All of a sudden, he began saying stuff like, hey, girl, you better start considering God's called you here for such a time as this. Amen. It's no accident that you're on the throne of the queen. You're married to the man that signed the decree for the entire Jewish race to be killed that's in the kingdom. It's not an accident that you're here. That's called providence. Amen. That's why you're here. That's why, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape because you're in the king's house. He said, I'm telling you, girl, you better start thinking about this. And so we find here that her position of comfort was challenged once she found out her people were condemned. And her answer, her initial answer, finding out her whole race of people is condemned and her position of comfort is challenged. Here's her response. I've not been called. I've not been called to go into the king. I just can't walk in. Man, if I walk in there, he could kill me. And by the way, this was not a nice king according to history. This king came from a line of kings. One of them, it was either him or his father or grandfather, one of them in there disemboweled his own mother to see the womb that bore him. These were not nice guys. These were evil, wicked, ungodly men. And God put her right next to one, married to one, amen, in the perfect will of God. Because her purpose in life was to deliver the Jewish race from the condemnation that was coming. That was why she was there. And it's not until her people are condemned and her position of comfort is challenged that her purpose became clear. And that's what I want to focus on here this evening. In a world where the human race is under the condemnation of Almighty God because of their sin. And I mean the entire human race. Amen. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. And I know for a fact we have people here tonight that have never been saved. I want you to listen. In a world that's condemned by God, in a world where not just the Jewish race for Esther, but the human race for our world. Amen. I'm talking about every race, every background, every ethnicity, every tribe. We are condemned by Almighty God. We're condemned to hell because of our sin. The Bible is very clear. And so in a world where our race of people are under the condemnation of Almighty God because of their sin, and with the Holy Spirit calling on Christians to spread the gospel of the grace of God, and with a holy Bible commanding us to go ye into all the world. That's what the Bible tells. That is our job. I think some of us have become satisfied, and I'm not knocking giving. I thank God for faith, promise, missions given. Our church, Delphine can testify to this, our church taking on 8 missionaries at $100 a month. We believe in missions, amen. We believe in churches starting missions programs and supporting missionaries, amen. We believe missionaries ought to support missionaries, amen. I believe in that with all my heart, but God did not say, give ye into all the world. God said, go ye into all the world. And all the Zoom meetings and the social networking, church services, and all the internet things we do and all the money we give and the checks we write, that can't replace the boots on the ground. Amen. Getting the job done. I'm telling you guys, at the end of the day, there's got to be people right here in Wallen, Tennessee that are preaching the gospel in this community. Amen. And in this region of the world and to this county. Amen. And there's got to be people in Africa doing the same thing. And there's got to be people wherever you are, Brother Snodder, doing the same thing. And there's got to be people across. We've got to have people going out. You can't replace boots on the ground. We've got to have people that are going. Now, I want you to hear me, and I want you to listen, and just consider this. The response from the average independent Baptist, and I'm telling you, I'm not. This is not braggadocious. That God knows my heart. I get to be around a lot of churches. I get to be around a lot of Baptists, and the response that I'm hearing over and over and over and over again is, "I've not been called. I've not been called." And I want to remind you tonight that 48% of your race is under condemnation and they don't have a chance at getting saved because there's nobody to reach them. God did not say, go ye into all the, let me back it up. God did not say, go ye into half the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God said, go ye into all the world. That little word all, it's a little word, but it's a big word. It's all the world. Amen. And Brother Blue, if he was here, would say, man, his job's not done till every creature has a preacher. Amen. that we need men. We need missionaries. Amen. And so I have a hard time, again, if I quote from Brother Blue for just a moment, you'll recognize part of this statement. I have a hard time believing that the same God who died on the cross for the sins of the world, the same God that told his son to go to Calvary and shed his blood on Calvary, here's how Brother Blue would say, what kind of a God would send his son to die on the world, to die on the cross, the awful manner in which he died? What kind of a God would have his son do that and then fail to send somebody to reach those parts of the world that have never heard? I'm telling you tonight, church, it is not God who does not call. It is man who will not respond. It is man who will not respond. Because the voice of God's calling and God's working and God's troubling hearts. And I talked to a young man this morning and he knew God was calling him a year ago. And he was running from the call of God. And finally God caught up with him today. And I thank God that he's continually calling. And that boy got in this morning. Amen. I thank God for that. I'm just trying to tell you tonight that God is calling and God is looking. And the eyes of the Lord are in this church tonight, looking across this congregation tonight. And God's looking for those who will say, by the grace of God, hear my Lord, send me. Lord, I'll go. I'll go. If you'll send me, I'll go. But the answer that most churches are giving right now is, I've not been called. What would you think of Esther sitting in that palace and let her whole race be condemned? Let her whole race be slaughtered. And she never even went into the king because she said, I wasn't called. And what are we going to say at the judgment seat of Christ? Amen. When we see 48% of our world that died and went to hell. Amen. And we sat in a position of comfort. Amen. We sat in a privileged position. I didn't ask to be born in this country. I didn't ask to be raised here. I didn't ask to be in a place where I heard the gospel almost every day of my life. Amen. I didn't choose to be born here. And I didn't choose for someone else to be born in a place where they never heard the gospel one time, ever, ever, ever one time. I didn't choose that. They didn't choose that. It's the way it fell out according to the providence of God. And God's given what he's given to us so that we'll get off our backsides and go to them and get the gospel to them, whether they're across the street or whether they're across the sea. Amen. Amen. We've got to do it, guys. So what I want to do tonight is I want to preach on this thought just for a few moments. Are you sure that you haven't been called? Are you sure that you haven't been called? Because I hear, I've not been called. The world's dying and going to hell. 71 years ago, my dad was born. Those between 2.5 and 3.5 billion people, I get the numbers mixed up, but between 2.5 and 3.5 billion people on this planet in 1950. In 2021, we're at 7.9 billion people. We've somewhere between doubled and tripled our population. In 1950, I've probably given the statistic here before, but in 1950, we had 100,000 missionaries going out of the United States of America to reach the world with the gospel. That's everybody under an evangelical umbrella. That's not just independent Baptists, but that's missionaries under the evangelical, not Catholics, but Protestants, whatnot. That's how they counted them. Today, using that same evangelical umbrella, not counting the Catholics, just evangelicals and Baptists, there's 30,000. So while the population has doubled to tripled, in the world, in my father's lifetime, the labor force of those that are going to reach the world with the gospel out of the United States of America has declined by 66%. Because we're sitting back with this attitude, I've not been called. I've not been called, and you'll never convince me. You'll never convince me that God's not calling. You can't convince me of that. This Bible, everything in this Bible points to the fact. It screams out. It cries out. Whom shall I send? And here, can I just tell you the answer to that question? Whom shall I send? It's in the very next question. Who will go? Whom shall I send? And who will go for me? I'm just telling you, friend, God's looking for people that are willing to go. So when he puts his hand on you, you get up and go for the glory of God. Amen. I believe strongly in the call of God to preach the gospel, to plant a church, to be a missionary. I believe in the call of God. I believe there's a general call of God to reach the world. I believe that. I believe that every one of us have a part of that general call to go reach everybody we can in our vicinity and the place God. Hey, the greatest church plant and missionary movement in the world is in Acts chapter 8, verse number 4, historically, where the Bible brought, God brought persecution into the church at Jerusalem, and the Bible said, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Amen. And that wasn't all the preachers out of Jerusalem. That was all the Christians out of Jerusalem. Amen. Every Christian went everywhere carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ and witnessing, and the greatest missions movement of all time could happen again if just every Christian everywhere said, I'm going to fulfill the general calling of God on my life to go where I'm at. Amen. And give the gospel to my neighbor and to my friends and to my enemies. Amen. By going, going, going. Well, we strongly believe. And I have to, once I get to the message, it'll be short, but the introduction's long, all right? But I strongly believe in the special call of God. That's what I'm preaching about. Now, I'm not preaching on the general call of God. I want to make it clear I'm preaching on the special call of God. And I'm going to preach about that in just a minute. But I want you to hear this here so that you have no doubt when you walk out what I believe. Amen. I believe strongly in the special calling of God into the ministry to be a preacher of the gospel, a teacher, or a missionary. I believe that. Jesus said in Matthew 9, 36 to 38, I won't read the whole thing, but he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send. He has to do the sending. Amen. That sure implies the call of God if he's the one sending. Jesus, or in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11, the Bible said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. If he gave them, then he called them. They're a gift to his church. Amen. They were called by God and given to the church as a gift. Amen. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 13, verse 1, God said to a church that was praying and fasting for God to send laborers, God came to that church and God said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Paul would say in Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle. There it is, separated under the gospel of God. Amen. God indeed calls. God indeed separates under the gospel of God. I believe that with all my heart. And if you want more verses, you can look at Ephesians 3, 7, 1 Timothy 2, 7, 2 Timothy 1, 11. I'm trying to be clear tonight and trying to get my, all those little comments, you know, that you got to make prefatory to the message so nobody misunderstands. I believe in the call of God, the special call of God to be a preacher, the call of God into the ministry, the call of God in the mission field. I believe that. But I'm just as confident tonight. I am more confident than I've ever been in my life that God is calling men to the mission field, that he's calling men in the ministry, that he's calling families to leave here and go around the world with the gospel of the grace of God, and men, women, boys, and girls are not responding to the call of God. I'm confident of that. I'm confident of that. All you have to do is look at our historical trends. Can I tell you, I believe God has given me a purpose on this furlough. We started a 9-month furlough. We're 1.5 months in. I believe with all of my heart that God has raised me up. If I never make it to Africa, if I drop dead of a heart attack, I believe God has raised me up to sound the alarm in our independent Baptist churches. At the rate we're going, Brother Brian, and I'm not making this stuff up. These are facts by reputed mission organizations, by many different organizations that keep tracks of the numbers. And they say with that 71-year statistic I just gave you, at the current rates that we're sending missionaries to the field and they're returning from the field. And by the way, the statistic I'm about to give you was pre-COVID, and lots had to come home because of COVID and because of lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. But at the current rate we're sending missionaries, and at the current rate they're returning, and at the current rate we're replacing them, at current rates pre-COVID, the missions program of independent Baptist churches, not just independent Baptist churches, the missions program of evangelical churches in the United States of America will flatline in 10 years. And that's not an Al Gore global warming, and in 15 years the whole world's gonna, you know, blah 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 blah. I'm not blowing hot air. I'm telling you the truth. Our missions program will flatline. One of the reasons we have so much money to give is certainly because God's people are giving at an unbelievable rate. Amen. In fact, almost every church I've been in, I haven't asked Pastor Sexton yet, but almost every church I've been since I started furlough, and pastor friends that I have coming through COVID, do you know the consistent story has been that we lost people because of COVID? That's been the consistent story. But I've only had one church that I've ever pastor I talked to where their offerings decreased since COVID. Amen. What about, isn't that interesting? God's using COVID to trim the fat, amen, off the churches, amen. God's starting to winnow things out just a little bit, amen. I'm just telling you, he is. We've had people that just, man, COVID got over, they never got it, and they just never came back, amen. There are people that got it, and there are people that can't be out, and we understand that. There's people, we have a precious lady, we call her Grandma there at Falls International. She hadn't been to church in a year, and she can't come out, and she can't be around it, because if she got it, it'd be a death sentence, and I get that, I understand that. I'm just simply saying, it's a funny thing when you have a church with 100 people, and 30 don't come back, and you see them in Walmart and everywhere else, but they won't come back to church, and your offerings are going up while they're dropping out. Amen. Yes. I'm set. One of the reasons we have so much money, amen, in our missions accounts right now is because people are giving. But one of the reasons we have so much money to go around, I'm just telling you, one of the reasons we have so much money to go around is because we got less missionaries to spread it among. We do. We have less missionaries. Brethren, for the first time in my life, I've got mission board directors calling me. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this stuff up. Gary Chris talked to me about maybe a year and a half ago and said, brother, do you know anybody that could be at this mission conference, that mission conference? He said, I've got pastors calling me, and I don't have missionaries to send to them. I've got guys, he said, it used to be, it was the other way around. He said, I don't have places, I don't have missionaries to send to the churches. He said, I don't know what's going on. I said, we got a lack of missionaries. We got a lack of people that are gone. There's more coming home than what's going to the field. And I'm telling you, we've got to turn that around in our country. And if we wait on what we call, what's commonly understood as the call of God, or some kind of mystery. Here's the stuff you hear. Here's what I hear in Baptist church pulpits. Amen. I hear this kind of stuff. Well, I tell you what, I was going down the road and I heard a message about the call of God and being a missionary. And I'm telling you, I told God if it's his will for a bolt of lightning to come down. And the bolt of lightning come down, I knew that was the will of God. That's not the call of God. People say, well, I tell you, I was watching a missions program and I saw the missionary report and I saw all those little children and I started crying and those tears come down and I had a burden pump and I thought my heart was going to explode and I realized God was calling me. That's not the call of God. I've heard a preacher say this. It's almost humorous. He said, I knew I was called of God when the hair on my back stood straight up. I said, I don't even have any hair on my back. How can I know if I'm called of God or not? Amen. You say, I've heard that stuff. Man, there's all kind of stuff coming out of our people. We've got kids, amen, that have no clue what the call of God is because they're not hearing what the Bible says about the call of God. So the only thing I know we can do is pray the Lord of harvest to send laborers and start preaching about the call of God from the Bible and explain what it is and what it isn't. I want to give you three things tonight, what I believe with all of my heart, what I would die for. I believe this is the call of God. Number one, and this is real simple. It's not profound. The missions program that God instituted is not complex. It's very simple. Number one, and if you want to write it down, that'd be wonderful. If not, well, just memorize it. Amen. God's specific call is always, if you're writing it underline, double score, always highlight it. God's specific call is always spoken through the scriptures. Where there is a voice, there is a verse. I believe that with all of my heart. God works, God speaks through his word. Newsflash. That's why it's called the word of God. That's where God speaks. God's not speaking through dreams. God's not speaking through emotional experiences. God is nowhere in this Bible indicated. He's nowhere in the New Testament especially. And he's never obligated himself. He's never indicated that he'll speak through visions and through dreams and through revelations and through planes flying and the hair on your back. God's never said none of that stuff. Amen. God speaks through his word. Where there's a call, there's a command. And he's calling tonight. You say, how do you know? Because I got his word. And his word's calling. I believe when there's sinners present, he's calling them to salvation. I believe when there's new Christians present, he's calling them to sanctification. And I believe when there's Christians that are saved and serving, I believe there's some he's calling to surrender and to service. I believe that. I'll always believe that. I'll die believing that. Genesis chapter number, you say, give me some scripture. I'm glad you asked. Amen. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. Here we have a historical example of one of the first times that we find the call of God. And the Bible said, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out. Get thee out. Who said it to him? Abram. What was driving Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees? The word of the Lord. Where do we find the word of the Lord? Right here in this Bible. Amen. Now the Lord had said unto Abram in Isaiah chapter number 6 again. Watch this. Here's Isaiah. Isaiah said, also, I heard the voice of the Lord God. He heard his voice. Amen. Because God's still giving his word. This Bible's not completed. I heard the voice of the Lord God saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What did he hear? The voice of the Lord God. Where is the voice of the Lord God today? It's in the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The Holy Scriptures. God speaks through his word. Where there is a voice calling, there is a verse commanding. You can mark that one down. Amen. God speaks through his word. And Romans chapter number 1, we already quoted that. In Acts chapter number 9, we won't go there. I'll save some time there. But here's what I'm trying to say tonight. If it's true that God only speaks through his word, does anybody here tonight believe that God speaks through visions, dreams, and revelations? I hope not. God speaks through his word. And if indeed God Almighty speaks through his word, if he speaks through his word, then you help me understand this. How can I hear the call of God if I do not read his word? How can I hear the call of God if I'm not reading it? We've got Baptists sitting around waiting on an emotional experience, amen, when they should have been reading the Word of God. It's the Word of God that calls. I want to challenge you young folks and everybody else, amen. If you're under 99, you're young, amen. I want to challenge you. Read this Bible, amen, because God calls through His Word. If God gives you a special calling, I promise you it will come from the Word of God. It has to come from the Word of God. God has obligated Himself to speak through His Word. And the Bible says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Where's that found? In His Word. I said in my missions presentation tonight, Romans 15, 20 and 21. Yea, so, and you can go back and read it. My mind just went blank. Amen. So if I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. What's that? The Word of God. That, do you know I was in a Christian missions class, Tabernacle Baptist Bible College, Greenville, South Carolina, and he opened up and said, we're going to go through, we're going to have a missions class tonight, and I cannot remember what the professor taught us. We opened to Romans 15, 20 and 21, and I read that, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know any other way to say it. God spoke to me through those verses. That is when God called me to be a church planter, out of those verses. I have the Word of God on it, and I've lived my life based on those verses. Amen. Because God called me right there. Amen. Can I tell you, if God calls, it'll be through this. This is why you need to read the Word of God and pray every day. Let me ask you a question. Was Isaiah in the presence of God when he heard the voice of God? He was. Read it. He's in His presence. How can you hear the voice of God when you're not in His presence? When Jimmy was a little boy, and I'd want him to come and say, Jimmy, Jimmy, he'd be out in the tree road, Jimmy. You know, he couldn't hear me. James Matthew Robin Jr. He's out there, he can't hear me. You can't hear God when you're not in His presence. I'm going to tell you something, young fellas, young ladies, amen, boys and girls, you want to learn how to hear the call of God? Get in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. There's a reason the Bible said this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. We have kids on these. We have kids on these. We have kids glued to these, amen, and we've forgotten the Word of God. And if there's going to be a call of God to go anywhere, and there is a call of God to go everywhere, it's in the Word. You're never going to find the will of God outside the Word of God. Amen. God's not obligated to speak through any other way, and He won't. He speaks through His Word. Amen. Well, looky here, and I could, well, there's a lot, let me just say this real quickly. In Revelation chapter number 22, verse 17, the Bible said, and just real quickly, are we reading the Word of God in Revelation 22? Are y'all with me? Y'all awake tonight? I'm very much awake. Are y'all with me? Are you listening? Revelation chapter number 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride. Who's the Bride there? That's the church. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth. Who's that him that heareth? That's the individual. There's corporate responsibility in the call of God. There's individual responsibility in the call of God. Paul knew his individual responsibility because God told him he's the chosen vessel. Amen. But there was corporate responsibility. The church had to recognize it to send him out. Amen. And so we find both corporate. Some of you say, well, I'm not called to God. My church supports missionaries, but I'm not called. God said, let the church, let the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Do you understand what he says when he says him that heareth? You got to be listening. You're not going to be out there saying, come. You're not going to be going, amen, and inviting people to Calvary if you're not listening to the Spirit of God yourself. I'm saying God's call is spoken solely through the Scriptures. I believe that. The call of God comes through the Scriptures. You want to be a part of the call of God? Get your nose in the book. Start reading that Word. Let God's Word speak to you, because this book is a living book, and this book speaks to His people. Amen. Number two. God's specific call, and we get choked up right here a little bit. I mean, people sometimes, they choke up right here. But God's specific call, it's not only spoken to people that are in His presence, but God's call is spoken only to those who are sanctified. And I'm going to actually rephrase the way I have to have that worded, because I don't think that's quite correct. Instead of saying God's call is only spoken to those that are sanctified, I'm going to rephrase that. God's call is only heard by those who are sanctified. And I think that'd be more correct to say it that way. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, again, go back to our text there in Esther. Esther wasn't just any young lady. Would you all agree with that? I mean, what I mean by that is Esther wasn't a filthy young lady. She wasn't a dirty young lady. She's a pure, young, Jewish girl. Esther chapter number 2, verse 2, she was a fair young virgin. And according to Esther 2:3, even as a fair young virgin, to come into the presence of an ungodly king, she had to go through a process of purification before she'd come into the presence of the king. She had to. By the way, she was purified with oil. Amen. That's a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost has the ability to purify the child of God. Amen. And prepare him for the calling of God, or her for the calling of God upon her life. Now, I want you to notice this. In Esther chapter number 2, verse 4, the Bible said, after that purification process, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen. And the only point I want to make there is that if an old ungodly king wouldn't allow a Jewish girl in his presence until she was purified and pleased him, how much more will the thrice holy God not allow us in his presence, amen, to be used of him until we're purified and cleaned up? Amen. You might as well say amen, or I'll amen myself. Amen. In Isaiah chapter number 6, I want to remind you, when Isaiah heard the voice saying, whom shall I send and who will go? That is the call of God. And he said, here am I. He did not have that conversation until there was another conversation. He said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the Lord. When he came in the presence of the holiness of God, amen, he realized he was unholy. And God, I'm going to say it this way. He never heard the call of God until first he was sanctified. Amen. He did not hear the call. Vance Havner said about that very passage of scripture. Vance Havner said, we're busy trying to get a young generation to say, here my Lord, send me. And they've never learned how to say, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm telling you, friend, the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 20 through 22, but in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. And here's what the New Testament of your Bible says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. There's no vessel unto honor without purging. Amen. It's God's economy. Let me just finish my verse first, all right? My mind's going 43 different directions right now. Listen, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What's the next word? Sanctified. That means set apart. And meet, what's that mean? Fit for the master's use. Isn't that what that means? What God's saying here is, I'm not going to use you. You're not fit for my use until you're clean. The Old Testament said in Isaiah 52, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. God deserves holiness. God requires holiness. God demands holiness. Amen. There's anyone that's deserving of our holiness, it's God. Amen. And God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. I guarantee there's not a person in this room, amen, unless you're out of your head, there's not a person in this room that want to eat after church tonight. Let's say we all went out to a restaurant. I'm taking folks back to Knoxville or Bryan or somebody is, amen. If he takes them, I'll eat with somebody else. Amen. All right. But we go out someplace, we want to eat together and have a good time. It won't be me and him eating, will it? Amen. He'll be in the van going that way, and I'll be eating here. Amen. Listen, I'm just simply saying, well, listen, man, I get hungry, brother, and I want to eat a meal, and we get that meal out. I'm telling you, I want clean plates. I want a clean bowl. I want clean silverware. I want a clean coffee cup. I pour my coffee in. I'm just an old sinner, and I want something clean when I use it. How much more does the thrice holy God of heaven want something clean when he uses it? God, and listen, I'm going to tell you, he's holier than we are, and I'm telling you, his standard isn't lower than ours when it comes to using a vessel. Amen. If you wouldn't use an unclean, dirty vessel in your own service, in your own house, for your own personal use, why would God use one in his house? Amen. I see this meme on Facebook. Oh, I don't know where people come up with this stuff. Maybe somebody here can help me understand it, because maybe, Brother Snodderly, I am getting older, amen. And sometimes people put stuff and I read it one way, and then I find out later on my wife's like, no, you're taking it all wrong. So I might be taking this wrong. I really might be. But I keep reading this statement that says, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I'm just not seeing it somewhere. I mean, maybe they're talking about salvation or something. I don't know. But if we're talking about the call of God in the ministry, you better believe God calls the qualified. God's not using unqualified people in his work. Amen. Not with the blessings of God. Not with eternal rewards. Amen. God uses those who are purged. If a man therefore purge himself. Can I tell you, when I travel from church to church, brother, I, Pastor, years ago, when I was a young man, younger than Jimmy, and on deputation, my very first time to go to Hovind, South Dakota, I drew a line around churches, and if it wasn't Independent Baptist Church, I wouldn't go there. And people can criticize that, and that's fine. Everybody's got to draw a line. That's where I drew my line, if it wasn't Independent Baptist. But even in Independent Baptist churches, I'm going to tell you something, there's a big spectrum. Is there not? I mean, there's a big spectrum from here to here. And we find ourselves in churches, not because we wanted to be in that kind of a church, but you find yourself in a church and you find yourself preaching. I mean, pastors send questionnaires to missionaries, but not, missionaries don't always send questionnaires to pastors. Amen. You just start calling people and trying to get meetings and all this kind of thing. And we end up in churches. And I'm just going to tell you something. I have been in some churches that had a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous burden to see people saved. And they're seeing people saved. I believe they are. And then they have this tremendous burden to see people sent to the mission field. And I believe they have a real burden to see people sent to the mission field. But in between there, there's nothing. It's like, saved, we're going to send you. And I'm going to tell you, I go in those churches and I preach in those churches. When Jimmy's younger, he's been in some churches like that with me. And we'd see the altars flood with tender-hearted people who had got saved just recently. And they just wanted to serve God. And they didn't have a pastor in a church that preached on sanctification. And they come down to the altar and they pray. And they're more tender. I'm being honest. Some of those, they just got saved. They're more tender than kids that were raised in church, got saved when they were 6 years old. Amen. I'm just telling you, some of those newly saved or newly got right with God kids, they're a whole lot more tender than our church kids that we've raised in our houses, in our pastors' homes, in our missionaries' homes. Amen. They're a lot more tender and they're a lot more susceptible to come down on an altar and say, oh God, hear my, use me. And I leave the church knowing they'll never go anywhere because they don't have a pastor in the church that preaches and believes in sanctification and practices sanctification. They don't have it. Can I tell you, God, it's not they can't go out and do a big work, but God can't use. He doesn't put a stamp of approval, his blessing. You say, where is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy. And there's no acceptable unto God until there is first a sacrifice that is holy. God demands it. I believe we don't hear the call of God. I believe he's calling. You'll never convince me he's not calling. I believe he's calling. I believe he's calling in this church tonight. You say, you really believe that? I really believe that. You mean to tell me that you're saved by God's grace sitting here in church? Amen. And I mean, our churches are getting, we're getting puffed up with knowledge, friend. I mean, we're getting fat with knowledge. Amen. We really are. Amen. And there's a world that's never even heard of Jesus Christ out there. And you mean to tell me God's not looking at a church like this, that I would consider this church, I'm just being honest with you. I'm bragging on your church for a minute. Out of all the churches that support us, and I promise you, I don't say this everywhere I go. This is the first time I've said this in a church anywhere ever. Out of all the churches that support us, this is what I would consider a cream of the crop church. And you mean to tell me that in a cream of the crop church, almost a cream of the church crop, amen. You mean to tell me God's not calling people out of here? I don't believe it. You guys are preaching the word. You got people in the presence of God. God's sanctifying, consecration is being taught. You bet. He's doing all of that so he can send. You know, God never meant for a church to have doors that open in, amen, and we just keep building. God meant for a church to have revolving doors. We bring them in, we get them saved, we get them sanctified, we get them serving, and we get them sent out for the glory of God. When I came here the very first time, I'm telling you, man, I started to meet, there's Brother Brian, amen, over there at Mount Tabor. The first thing impressed me about this church, and this isn't a criticism because you're here. I know God led you back here. I have confidence in you, brother, amen. But I'm saying there he was over there, and there was Trent McKeon out over there, and there was another missionary here at the time, and he was out, and I started saying, man, all these guys are going out of this church, man. Praise the Lord. Man, this is what a church is supposed to be. That's what our churches are. Every church is supposed to be like that. Amen. We bring them in. The things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others, because God expects them to be called and sent into the ministry somewhere along the line. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm just telling you guys, we don't understand the call of God. We think it's an emotional experience, and it's not. The call of God comes from the word of God. We've got to be in the presence of God. We got to be sanctified, cleaned up, where we can hear his voice, amen, and where he can use us. And then lastly, and I'm done, and some of you are like, praise God. I asked a little boy last night, I was preaching last night, and another preacher come, and I preached relatively short last night. And this little boy, I said, I'm just about done. And he all of a sudden perked up to his parents and said, really? He's almost done? So I went back and I said, hey, buddy. I said, did I preach a long message? He said, uh-huh. Amen. Well, some of you like that tonight. So I got to give you, I could preach on, I'm telling you, I could, man. I'm telling you, it's good liberty. And because this is my burden, this is my heart. It's my heart. Number three, and I think I have preached all night long here one time. Amen. I remember the New Year's Eve service. I better move on, amen, before I get kicked out, all right? God's specific call, number three. And I want you to, again, if you can write it down, I sure wish you would. God's specific call always reveals and defines his purpose for your life, his purpose for your existence. I believe that. His call will define, his call will reveal why he created you and what your God-given purpose is. I want to just say tonight to every person here, you're a person. You say, I know that. No, you are a person. You are an individual creation. You are a special creation from God Almighty. And there might be somebody here that says, no, you don't understand. You know, my mom was a victim and I'm the product of my mom being a victim to some man. If God said breathe and let you live, you're here by order of Almighty God. So you don't understand. My parents said I was an accident. I was a whoops. I'm a coincidence. If God, the Bible said he has the power of life and death in his hand. If God said live, if God said breathe, if you're breathing, if you're alive, you are here by the determinate will, the forecounsel of God Almighty. You're here at this time on this planet with a purpose. God put you here for a purpose. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what that purpose is? I know what my purpose is. If I have to prove my calling of God to be a missionary to go to Ghana, to your pastor, and to this church, and I do, and I did, and I would require the same of any missionary that came to my church, if I have to prove the call of God on my life to be a missionary, shouldn't you have to prove the call of God on your life? Or at least, let's rephrase it, because it's all speaking to the same thing. The call of God for me is the perfect will of God, and that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I have to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for me, shouldn't you have to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you? If I have to prove I'm called to go, shouldn't you have to prove you're called to stay? Amen. You say, well, man, that makes me nervous. I'm going to tell you something. If you answer that question, it'll either shake you up real bad or it'll settle you down real good. I'd rather have a church full of people that said, I know I'm here in the perfect will of God. This is where God wants me. This is where I'm to labor. I'm to reach Walland. I'm to reach Maryville. I'm to reach Knoxville. Amen. This is the will of God for me. And I'd rather have a man saying, this is the will of God for me to go to Ghana than have a bunch of people sitting in church that have no clue of what the will of God is and why we're here. We're not here to fill a church pew. We're here with a commission from God Almighty. Go ye. Amen. Whether that go ye is here in Tennessee or whether it's in Africa, makes no difference. You need to find out who and where and why God has placed you here at this time. You need to find that out. Amen. Have you discovered your purpose? Have you? I'm not saying tonight that everybody has a special call of God. I don't believe that. But I do believe, amen, that everybody has a perfect will of God. Amen. And the call of God on my life is the perfect will of God. But what's the perfect will of God for your life? Do you know? How do you know you're... You say, well, I'm not... Pastor Rubin, I've not been called. If you're not reading the Bible and faithful to church, how do you know? Well, I don't know that I've been called. And you haven't let God clean you up and sanctify you so you're fit for his use. How do you know you're not called? Well, you know, I tell you right now, I just don't believe I'm called. And man, you've never even tried to discover the will of God. How do you know God's not calling you? That's what I'm preaching on. How do you know you're not called? How do you know? Are you sure you're not called? By the way, the will of God, I said it this afternoon, Brother Snoddy, remember me saying it this afternoon, it's not for 19 and 20 year olds only. The call of God for the pastor, the preacher, the missionary, the will of God for every child of God, it's for every child of God, amen, regardless of your age. You'd be amazed, amen. I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90, amen. If you've never said, I don't know what the will of God is for my life, I challenge you to find it. I challenge you to pray and say, God, show me. Why are we just wandering in a wilderness? Why are we just squandering this life God's given us when there's souls that need to be saved by his grace? Amen. I don't understand it. How can we squander and wander while souls are dying and going to hell in our town and around the world? How can we do it? God has a perfect will of God. God has a people and God has a place for you in his providence. He does. Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God has you here on purpose, with a purpose, to serve him. And it's just a matter of finding out the who and the where. And get to it with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. I'm closing. God's providence always, always, always provides a man for the moment. I believe we are here for such a time as this. And I can say this pretty dogmatically. I don't know your exact purpose. I can't look at you one by one. I can't even look at my own son and say, this is God's will for your life. I can't do that. But I do know that for every one of you that are saved by the grace of God, his will involves fulfilling the Great Commission. Not just giving. Not just giving. Not just giving. But going. Locally. Whether you're ever called of God to be a missionary or not, you are called generally to go ye. The order's already been given in this word. Go ye. Go ye. Go ye. God always provides a man for the moment. What's World War II without Winston Churchill? That's secular history. I don't think he's a saved man. But God raised him up for a purpose at that time in history. Where would the world be if it wasn't for Winston Churchill? I mean, think of the caliber of a man that he was. He stands with all of his generals when things are at their worst, right before he joins into the battle. And I mean, things are at their worst, and he stands with all of his generals and all of his officers, and he begins telling them all this bad news of how the Germans have attacked here, and all this is going on here, and that's going on all there. And one by one, history tells us his generals hung their head in defeat. They was defeated, they're depressed. And the historian says, one by one, until all their heads were hung in defeat, and once all their heads were hung in defeat, Winston Churchill said, "Frankly, gentlemen, these events inspire me." That God has to raise up a man for the moment. Do you know God has you for a moment? He has you for a people and a place somewhere right now. What are you going to do about it? There's some. I'm telling you, you'll never convince me. You'll never convince me God's not calling some of you. It's just you're not hearing it. Because you're not in this book. Because you're not clean. Because you're not looking for that purpose. But if you ever got serious about it, I'm telling you, God has a perfect will for you. And for some of you, he has a call of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've got a lot more notes here, but I'm done. I need to be done. Lord, the message, I believe, has been delivered that you wanted me to preach tonight. Are you sure you're not called? Lord, I pray. The pastor's going to be coming here in just a minute. Lord, I think the piano is probably going to be playing a verse of invitation, Lord. However the pastor decides to do it, Lord. But my prayer is this. I'm praying, God, that not only would you call, but Lord, that you that folks would listen. That him that heareth, Lord, would get busy about his Father's business. God, I pray that you would bring us to that place where we're listening, where we're hearing the call of God. And Lord God, where we get off our seats of blessed assurance and get our boots on again, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and begin reaching sinners, everyone we can, with the gospel of the grace of God, open to the call of God. Lord, I pray you would revamp our thinking. I pray, Lord, instead of teaching our young people to say no until God says yes, I pray you'd help us to start teaching our young people to say yes until God says no. I pray that'd be our attitude, to go, to be faithful, doing everything we know until God says no, until God puts a stop on. Just do everything we can while we can. And Lord God, you're big enough, you can put a stoplight on it. You can say no over here, and you can say go over there. God, I pray that you would help us to have an attitude of being willing to go, and Lord, that we would start right here locally. Nobody here will ever be a missionary on the other side of the world if they're not first a missionary here. God, I pray you'd help us to get a hold of this, Lord, tonight. And Lord, I pray again as you instructed us to pray. I pray that you would send laborers out of this church into your harvest field for the glory of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this evening. Heads bowed. Little Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I wonder if the Lord spoke to you this evening. And as the preacher said, no doubt he has spoke, but maybe the better question is, are you hearing? While Sister Grace plays and I get real quiet, would you be submissive to the Spirit of God? Would you be honest enough? God's dealing with your heart. You'd be obedient. While she plays,